Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Celebrating at Il Parada in San Francisco, I'm Schmitty and this is Talkin' Schmidt. We're headed to Super Bowl 54, but first it's episode 56 with skate rock survivor Tony Trujillo. Tony is a NorCal all-terrain ripper and was a no-brainer as an addition to the anti-hero team. He instantly became one of the elites, turning pro at 16, winning the annual Marseille Bull Riders contest in 2002, and later that same year, becoming Thrasher Magazine's Skater of the Year. He was part of the deluxe team that won the first ever Thrasher King of the Road and was on the cover of that corresponding magazine. In fact, Tony's been on the cover of Thrasher three times. He also started the band Bad Shit with his now wife Ashley James and the late Jake Phelps. Rest in peace. After Jake passed, some questioned if the band would continue or not.
There's some people that don't believe the band exists anymore. It's not the same without the old man. Well, yeah, no shit. It's not going to stop us. He wouldn't want us to stop.
Before we get to the interview, I want to give a huge shout out to comedy, humor, and things and people that can still make me laugh in 2020. In the last couple weeks, I've seen Chappelle at the Chapel. Amazing. Maria Bamford kicked off the SF Sketchfest at the Castro. Laugh out loud insanity. And then I ran into John Waters at my favorite restaurant. You know, the one with dollar olies and smiles on their faces. That's right, Blue Plate. And they now have coconut cream pie back on the menu. Shout out, Corey.
Shout out.
So that's been real cool. I also want to give a warm welcome to two new bros we hired at the Mag. Dane and Ted, welcome aboard, boys. Also, big props and a proud shout out to my fiance, who has been in Ethiopia killing it on many levels all month. Get back home safe, sweets. B and I miss ya. Well, sometimes these things write themselves. And as it turns out, this happens to be episode 56. So we're going to dedicate it to the old man who checked out at 56 and is forever in our thoughts. Really stoked that Tony came down from Santa Rosa and did this one with me. Hope you guys all enjoy it. And without further ado...
Hello out there in Radio Land. This is Tony Trujillo. Let's talk some shit on Talkin' Schmidt.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Here we go again.
Just give it the old cars try, right now.
All big dogs in.
Schmitty.
96 times Schmitty.
Thanks, Schmitty.
John, Schmitty.
Talkin' Schmidt.
That's called going to the hospital, bitch.
He shit my pants, lad.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
I don't give a fuck about your fucking multi-million dollar numbers.
Who is this guy who thinks he's tough shit?
What's up?
I'm here for James Smith. Yeah!
We'll be right back.
Well, everybody, we are back, and I got a fucking doozy for you today. I'm going to be all over the place because I got a lot to cover. I have the one and only 2002 Skater of the Year, my bro, as Jake would say, Tony Trujillo.
Hello.
Hey, good to have you.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going good.
The basics are you were born in up north, right? Santa Rosa?
Yeah, I was born in Santa Rosa proper, Santa Rosa Memorial.
And then what age did you get into skating?
I got into skating at about six years old. So that was 88, Spitfire birth year. Yeah, it was my neighbor that got me into it. He was the same age as my sister, you know, 5 years older than me. So I looked up to him. His name was Pat Howell. He lives in Utah now, still skates, kids skate. Yeah, it was weird, you know, to get into skateboarding out where we lived because we lived on 10 acres of open farmland.
Oh, you did? Yeah. You have animals?
Yeah, we had cows and goats and chickens and horses and all that on our 10-acre lot. And of all things, skateboarding came into my life, like out in the middle of nowhere.
Whoa, so, I didn't know that. Were you milking cows?
No, I was...
Eggs, chicken
eggs? Yeah, eggs and stuff. But by the time I was old enough to do any of that stuff, my parents got rid of most of like the livestock. And it was expensive to run your own kind of farm, okay. You know? And it just became too much because they had to commute into Marin every day at like 5 a.m. To work at Fireman's Fund. It was like an insurance company. They were programmers. Left at 5 and they get back just as late, you know, and taking care of animals and everything. At the end of a day like that, just got to be too hard, I guess. Yeah.
Huh. Fuck. That's crazy. So what was the first board, like a plastic one?
I think my first board was a Nash board.
Oh.
It was black and neon green, and it was like picture from something in like a pyramid or something. It had like a fist coming through the wall and like booby traps and stuff. But yeah, and it had yellow wheels, and it was just ghetto, but okay. It worked for the time, you know.
Sick. Was the park built yet?
Santa Rosa?
Yeah.
No, that was 94.
94, and this was what, late 80s?
Yeah, 80s. Oh. 88 and on.
Okay. What was like the key, like, do you think back then that you kind of like saw somebody else doing something or saw a magazine or something or just felt the vibe? Like, how did you like take it up a notch?
It was just exciting to see my neighbor like building ramps.
Oh, he was the spark.
And using his hands, you know, and like using saws, like in hammer and nails. So many times I seen him like smash his finger and just chuck the hammer as far, you know, it just brought like all this energy and like you can actually do something with your hands and at the end of the day you get to go and hurt yourself on it. I don't know. It was just something that like, it was like a ladder, you know, you start here, you take a few steps up, and then you end up with this thing that you get to just enjoy all the time.
Right. Do you remember like who some of the early influences or like dudes that you would see stoke you or your first pro you saw in person or any of that stuff?
Well, you know, the Powell videos were pretty big back then. Santa Cruz ones too. And yeah, my neighbor Pat had all those videos. So I'd go over and watch those.
Tommy Guerrero.
Tommy G. All the like San Francisco, you know,
that was big for us.
Yeah, but no, just like I said, like back then it was all like the wooden ramps and stuff, and that's like what my neighbor was building,
right?
So it was like you go and watch the video, damn, that's a six spine ramp, and then you can go outside and like skate it,
right?
But yeah, all the like Pal videos, Santa Cruz videos, at that time I wasn't really focused on like who I was impressed with or like to watch. I just liked to watch it all.
Uh-huh.
At that time.
Huh. And then as you got better, did you start like accumulating footage, putting together like a sponsor me tape type of thing or?
Yeah. I don't know when that started. probably just after like Santa Rosa was built. So 94, 5, 6, those like 3 years were probably when I started. My buddy Jesse Palmer would come out with me. We'd skate all over the place, film each other and dork around. And then I started noticing who I liked to watch skate. It was like, you know, Chris Sen.
Right.
Basically, like, then the whole Think team, like Phil Schau and Wade Spire, Dandre Hobel.
That's fucking cancer. Fucking damn.
The all-terrain vehicles.
Yeah, the, like,
right.
Classic all-terrain machines.
Did the park opening kind of have a gateway for you to some of these people visiting your town and stuff, or not so much early on, or? Like, did you see the first pro in person at that park, or did you see him at a demo?
No, the first pro I saw was Christian Hsueh at the San Jose warehouse.
Oh.
Like, way back in the day.
No way. Because
I have family in San Jose, and so we would visit them. And I don't know how I found out about the San Jose warehouse. I think it was on, like, Skate TV or something. And then I was like, don't we know people that live in San Jose? And my dad researched it and found out where it was. And they had this sick spine ramp. And that's where I saw my first pro skater.
That was the one with the spine and the vert ramp next to each other? Yeah. Just the first one, not the one that was like the elaborate street course everything.
No, the first one.
Yeah, we skated there a couple of times. I don't know how we got in there, too. I think that one was more private.
Yeah, but my aunt, my cousin Karen, somebody knew Solomon Aga.
Oh.
And like they had him autograph his Skater of the Year mag for me, and because he was in San Jose at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think those connections kind of brought everything together.
And then what was the first sponsor that you got?
It was all Deluxe
right out of the gate.
All Deluxe, Spitfire, Antihero.
Did it happen all at once, all those brands at once, or was it like, okay, we'll give you some trucks, we'll give you some wheels, or?
You know, I think at the time, I think everyone at Antihero was on Indy, too. So that was the only separate, you know, NHS company. But other than that, it was, Antihero, Spitfire, and Indy, because Deluxe was distributing Indy at that time.
Right.
And then through that, Vans,
yeah,
because everyone, Julian Cardiel, everyone was Vans oriented,
right.
Yeah.
Did Mickey, how did that happen? How did who called you or who saw you or
sponsor me tape era?
Send it to Deluxe.
I sent them a few different tapes. I'd seen Mickey at Santa Rosa Skate Park one time too. Not only did I send in, like, sponsor me tapes, but I saw Bob Burnquist at the Grind Skate Park in Sacramento.
Zach, yeah.
And I gave him a tape. And then he brought it to Deluxe. And then I got a phone call.
Do you remember from who?
I think it was Mickey.
Sick. He's like, hey, like what you're doing?
Yeah, what's your address? We want to send you some shit. So, I remember that first box came. It was fucking unreal, dude. It was like 2-3 boards and grip and wheels and stickers and shirts, and it was all brand new fucking.
And you're like, what, 13, 14?
It was 13.
13?
Yeah.
Yeah, so still in grant, like, yeah, I don't know what grade.
Yeah, I was in like my second, eighth grade. I failed eighth grade. But and then not long after that, when I was 14, then I got invited on a Deluxe trip with like a mix of Deluxe riders to Canada.
So that was your first trip?
Yeah.
With like real dudes and Thunder and Spitfire? And
yeah, right, it was like Chris Pastris, Quim Cardona, Andy Roy, Ethan Fowler.
Oh, Stereo, too.
Danny Gonzalez,
huh.
Mickey.
Was that intimidating for you?
I was so excited, dude.
Yeah.
I was fucking like, I was at my house. Like, well, first it was like my mom had to talk with Mickey on the phone. I don't know how he swindled her into letting me go as a 14-year-old kid across borders in a van with like all these adults.
Right.
But Mickey sweet-talked my mom into letting me go. And she basically just dropped me off at Clown Alley in the city, and Mickey picked me up, and then we were on the road from there.
Whoa. That's sick. Was Julian and Cardiel there or no?
Not on that one, no.
No. Do you remember getting to meet those guys in the beginning?
I remember the first time I met Cardiel. It was that trip, and Mickey, we had to drive through Sacramento on our way out, so Mickey stopped at John's house. He's trying to get John to go on the trip, like, last second, like, here's the whole crew, we're out of here, you in? And he's like, no. Cool, though. Thanks for stopping by, whatever. It was cool.
Probably a year or two after that, you went on a cross-country trip with Mickey.
Yeah, the Narcotica tour.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one a little.
Oh, man. Dustin, Dolan, Keegan Sauter, me, who else? I fucking forget. Cardiel was on that one.
He was.
Yeah. Mickey, Gabe. But that one was intense. I already done some road time. I was more familiar with, you know, how things work on the road.
Uh-huh. Was there any good Mickey Reyes demos or anything? Like, did people get fucking ballistic? Any hijinks?
No. I remember Gabe Morford, he made a dry ice bomb. That was my favorite. He's like, put some dry ice in a plastic bottle and then put some water in it, cap it, and toss it.
Yeah.
And it's super dangerous. And it wasn't exploding, so we ended up having to throw, like, pebbles at it and shit. And it was behind some, like, department store. Somebody nailed it with the rock, and it exploded, and we weren't expecting that big explosion. We fucking all got in the car and, like, split before the cops were called because it was fucking, like, an insane explosion. These days, you'd get fucking arrested for that kind of shit. But, yeah, then, like, just good fireworks stops, and just, like, one of Keegan's quotes is, like, we're spending all this money on fireworks. He's like, this is way better than eating. It's like we're spending all our fucking money on just blowing shit up.
Oh, wow. Were you at that contest in Santa Rosa where Phil backs I-180 the fun box?
Yeah.
That was like a huge deal at the time. Like nobody, I think people didn't really think.
Yeah, he cleared it by so fucking much too. He like landed on flat almost.
Just getting the speed to hit it too, like pumping through and stuff, like there weren't a lot of dudes that even could do that.
No. I could get as much speed as I want and like I can just clear it. But he fucking back then he fucking cleared the tranny almost too, if you look at that footage.
Uh-huh. So proper and slow-mo, looks so good.
I know, it is intense. He was so fun to watch.
Was that around the same time you met Felper?
I don't remember exactly the first time I met Jake. He would tell you one story and then he'd always say, you have an answer for everything.
Yeah.
Even if it's not true. Just always have an answer.
Yeah.
So.
94 with Mickey.
Yeah, his story could vary and differ from the last time. So I remember skating. What's the pool that was over here?
Oh, yeah, in Potrero, the indoor one.
Yeah, the indoor Olympic. Where
Drobel had the corner air, yeah, yeah. Bonds.
I skated there with Jake and Phil one time.
Okay.
And I think that might have been the last time I skated with Phil.
I remember you weren't that old when we picked you up. Me and Luke went up and picked you up. Maybe with the butcher or somebody, and went street skating in your town. We went to that hallway that there's the flat bar out of. I think Diego Flump front blunted it.
Yeah.
Like Mike Carroll had an ad on it.
Maybe. If it's the one I'm thinking of, I might have had an ad front board big spin out on it, maybe.
Okay.
Or I don't know.
Yeah, there's hella spots up there. But like Miner, Joel Price, all those dudes, are they older than you?
Yeah.
Okay, so like, were you looking up to them, or like those? That's a different scene, or
we kind of merged at one point, but for a while, you know, I was just a fucking snot-nosed little fucking skate park punk, you know. And we're always talking shit and fucking, you know, giving them all sass, and but you know, after time went on, then you know, then we became more friends and hanging out and skating together.
Mm.
Brian Gaberman, Charlie Watts,
oh, yeah.
Mike Manzuri.
Nanda
Zip. Yep.
There's a lot of dudes from up there.
No, all good dudes. All did good by skating, so.
Yeah. All right. So then 16 years old, you turned pro?
Yeah.
And it's on your birthday?
Was it? I don't know.
I think so.
It had to have been.
Yeah. Do you remember like how it all went down?
I just remember seeing that board graphic for the first time. Like I think it's Santa Rosa Park or something. The eagle with the six packs, whatever.
Uh huh.
That was like
was your first graphic.
That was my design. Eagle just holding six packs. I don't know. Whatever.
Did you guys talk about it, or did they surprise you?
I think we talked about it. God, that was so fucking long ago.
Like, how many videos had you done before that? You did the one with the Fang song. Was that the first one?
The Yellow Cow video.
Yeah, the Yellow Cow.
Yeah.
You weren't pro then, right? Or were you?
I want to say at one point I was. No. I remember that I had a lot of footage from that Narcotica trip, too. I don't know.
Hmm. Okay. But it wasn't like, hey, Tony, like everyone showing up, like a big surprise.
It wasn't a big party like it is these days, you know, with social media and the internet. It's more just for like us, you know.
Okay. Well, I talked to Sieber. He told me 18 years ago, you guys went on the Greyhound trip.
Yeah, dude, those are the best fucking trips.
We got to talk about this trip.
Yeah.
Because people, I don't think, know about how insane this was.
No, and that, I still take the bus and public transit and the getaway of travel, you know. It's fun. You meet people. You get more experience that rather than just putting your fucking headphones on, getting in your first class seat and fucking going somewhere.
Uh-huh.
You meet people. Like today, we took the train and then the ferry into San Francisco, and you know, we didn't have any cash. Ashley really wanted like a hot coffee on the ferry, and the guy behind us was like, oh, here, I got your coffee for you, like here's $20, just bring me the change. And you know, you just meet people like when you travel,
yeah,
you know, more publicly than just with your phone in your face and your headphones on.
Gadgets.
Yeah. So the Greyhound tour was awesome. That was, I'll always just cherish those.
Was that you, Upson, and Sieber?
Yeah, me, Timmy Ups, and Sieber. Julian bought us the Ameripass.
Oh.
So I think it was $400 a piece. Or was that, was the Ameripass Greyhound, or I think it was Greyhound, or it was the Amtrak. I forget, but Amtrak had the same kind of, we did an Amtrak tour too.
Oh.
But the Greyhound one was, I think we flew out to Pennsylvania. No. God, Sieber's going to have to give me some fucking brain remembering. Because we were in Maine at one point.
Uh-huh. He mentioned some dude named Wendell.
Wendell, yeah, that was in Silverthorne, Colorado. We stayed at a hostel by the skate park, and he was just some transient dude like pointing us the way to the hostel.
Uh-huh.
He was telling us about his BUIs, biking under the influence, tickets and shit. Who's the dude in Maine? Sid.
Oh yeah, Sid Abruzzi.
Yeah,
the package.
Yeah, the package. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We spent some time with him at his mom's house. He's in his
and
mom's,
he's got the
basement.
Dungeon.
Yeah.
He does the surf report, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, he...
Okay.
So.
But yeah, that was classic times, man. Like, I think the cops showed up to his house, and they just know him, like, by name, and they're just like, okay, we'll just, you know the drill.
Uh-huh.
Tone it down, whatever. We got the pass for Greyhound, and you can get on and off any Greyhound bus in America for 30 days. So we just started flying around.
And did you guys have a photographer?
No.
Because there was photos, right?
We stopped in Columbus, Ohio, and visited with Donnie Humes.
Oh.
We Smelly Curb zine, and we spent some time with him, and he shot a bunch of photos.
Was there a small article in Slap or Thrasher or something, or was it just an anti-hero ad? I know I seen.
Remember. It was probably just an anti-hero collage ad.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but it was good times, man. You can do anything. Like, you just show up at the bus station and, you know, you see a skater and you're just like, where's the park? And they're like, that way. Like, okay, where's the skate shop? Over there. Will they let us stay at their house? Sure. Like, it just, it's that easy.
And that would dictate your trip. Like, we don't got a place to stay. Move to the next. And,
or you don't have a destination. It's like, yeah. You know anything good around here? Like, where can we take the bus to next? And they're like, okay, over there. Like, you want to go to that skate park and check it out? Whatever.
Had you been to Europe yet?
I think the first time I went to Europe was in either 99 or 2000. It was an England, UK trip.
Rad. And what year did you do Marseille?
2001 or 2.
It was the year you won Sodi? That you won Marseille?
I think so.
Yeah. And that was 2002 Skater of the Year. So it was probably 2001. And what was that like? That was the one where you painted your face and everything, right?
No, that was in 2005.
Oh, that was later.
So that was on the I Want to Go to the Blue Thing tour.
Okay.
That's when I did the face paint and the park was all red and white.
Uh-huh.
Jake, I want to go to the blue thing. Just the whole trip. We're like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? What blue thing? The blue thing!
What was it?
I don't know.
No one found out?
I don't know. Frank knows, I think.
I want to go to the blue thing.
Yeah. The early 2000s, the Marseille win. That was the first time I went to Marseille.
Did they do it? Like, when Wade won, I know they just gave him cash.
Oh, yeah.
And he put it in a pillowcase and got on the...
Yeah, I heard that story. Yeah. Yeah.
Did they give you cash or was it a check?
It was a big fake check, but with cash.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
That felt good.
That's what? How much was that? 10? Was that a lot, right?
Oh, God. I have to look at the check. I meant to do some homework this morning, but I had to get the kids to school and shit. I meant to look at... Because I have a hat that Gutierrez actually fucking ended up with somehow. It's the first place fucking mesh hat for Marseille. It's the fucking first place on it and the date and everything. I meant to look at it this morning. Sean ended up with it somehow, and then he returned it. Like... fucking champion.
No so way.
Stoked, yeah.
Well, you gotta remember Skater of the Year.
Yeah, well, I don't have to because it was my night, and it was my night to get hammered, so.
So you don't really remember?
No, I remember.
How did that all go down? Did Jake give you a call? Or, like, because back then they didn't do the big, like, now they'll go down to Leo's and surprise him or something. I don't think they did that back then.
No, it wasn't as extravagant. Back then, even though, you know, they made it real special and shit, you know, it was really fucking cool.
Yeah.
And I just remember being in the office upstairs here and fucking Luke was sitting across from Jake at that time, you know, Luke was still working for the mag and and fucking Luke leaked the info. He's all, so you stoked to meet Nikki Six? And Jake's like, what the fuck? Because they had Nikki Six, like, come present the trophy or whatever.
Yeah.
At Great American Music Hall.
Wow.
But Luke leaked it.
Damn, usually Jake's the leaker, too.
Yeah, but fucking Jake was so bent. He's just like, fuck.
Talk about that. What all happened? He came to give you the award. There was a photo of him giving you the award. They put it in the mag, and then he said that was without his consent, so he sued the mag?
No, apparently...
Or no, it was a Vans ad.
Maybe. Yeah, because Vans was involved at some capacity with sponsoring the event or whatever with Thrasher. So, I guess Thrasher, like, got Nikki Six to come present the award. And then there was a photo of the award being presented... Vans put it fucking right dead center in their fucking van store, like, window.
Uh-huh.
And then, I guess...
It got back to him.
Well, it got back to his management agency or whatever, you know? And they're like, we need to be paid for this, you know? Like, it's out of their control. Once you hire a management agency...
Yeah.
Then they're going to go after any kind of fucking dough that they can if your likeness is being used or whatever. They end up suing Vans... And the mag. And one of the greatest stories is Jake saw him walking down the street years later, like in Hollywood, and he goes, Jake was in the car and he yelled out the window, "You sued the fucking mag, fuck you!" And Nikki Sixx like waves at him like he thought it was a fan, like saying, "Hey, Nikki Sixx, whatever."
Yeah. I hate Motley Crue, big time, big fucking time. I hate them. They sued the mag and they fucking won. Nikki Sixx can fucking blow me.
I wasn't like, you know, directly involved with whatever the hell happened lawsuit wise, so
right.
I don't really know.
Did you guys go out to dinner that night?
Yeah, with
and he brought the girl, right, from Baywatch.
Yeah, what's her name?
DeMarco or something? No, I forget.
Yeah, what's her face? Anyway.
But you guys all went to dinner and kicked it?
The House of Prime Rib, yeah.
Oh, sick.
Super sick.
Was Jake with you?
Yeah, Jake was there. And that was just down the street from the party, so.
Yeah, was it Great,
Great American Music Hall? Yep. I think that might have been the last one that, no
didn't.
we bad shit got banned from there forever though.
From the fake Coke.
Yeah. So what was that, a Skate of the Year party?
Yeah,
so we played the Skate of the Year party, and we were living with Julian at that time, and I was like, all right, when we play Mission Street Coke, dude, fucking jump up on stage and toss this flower everywhere. So fucking Miss Street Coke comes on. Julian dumps out his backpack full of fucking flour and starts shoveling it into the fucking crowd. And the security guard tries to grab him. He fucking cat-like reflexed and jumped over the fucking barricade into the pit, and he was gone. And it left such a fucking mess that they banned us for life.
Fuck, yeah. I think that was the last time we did. That was that same night somebody pulled the sink off the women's bathroom. Like the entire fucking unit.
Yeah,
it was like we had this laundry. I think Lindsay was still working here. We had this laundry. She's like, they did this. Like,
yeah, just keep rattling it all off. No, the parties used to be super fucking epic, man.
Yeah, they were fucking rad. The Too Short one was really cool. Who played at yours?
AC/DC.
Oh, that's right.
And Bottom.
Fuck, dude. Those always have had the craziest. The one where Jeff and Jake almost fought each other.
Oh, that was the one at the fucking...
At the mini ramp?
At the piers or wherever the fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jake fucking drove us there that night. He almost got in a car accident. So he was turning left. He was going down... He's going north on Van Ness, just past Lombard. And then he was taking like the next left. And there was a bus coming the opposite way, and Jake tried to beat it when it turned green. He fucking gunned it in front of the bus, he was turning left, and then there was fucking people crossing the street, like a family was crossing the street, and he fucking gunned it, turned left, just got missed the bus. The bus had to slam on the brakes because I go, Jake! He almost hit the pedestrians in the fucking crosswalk. And then he fucking yells at me, "Don't ever fucking do that shit to me again."
Yeah.
The whole rest of the night, he was so fucking pissed at me that I was like, Jake. You were about to fucking hit, because it was dark outside, and he's fucking just.
Oh my God.
He was so pissed at me the rest of that night.
The night before that is my favorite line that P-Stone has ever filmed. And I need the footage. I filmed it. I filmed Preston filming you on the mini ramp, and he's just running behind you the whole time. I can't find that footage. I need it so bad.
Damn it, dude.
It was the best fucking line. Like, he's just running around like,
Dude, was it online at one point?
Maybe.
I feel like I've seen it.
Yeah, we did it because we did a hype the Sodi party video, and I think we used that for like, there's going to be a ramp.
Yeah.
And then that was Chris Cole's second Sodi. And Tony Hawk was there. Everybody was there. So Jake like lined up like, let's get all the Sodies one photo.
Yeah, that's
and then Jeff threw a drink at Jake's face.
Yep, classic.
Fatty puking all over the corner. I remember I had a photo of Fatty just like.
It was hard to keep track of what the hell was going on because that place was so big.
It was huge.
And, you know, if you're on the other side of the ramp, you can't see what's going on the other side. And that only happened that one year, huh?
Yeah, at the Fort Mason. I mean, that was like, because we had the Converse video premiere, I think, and they had extra budget for like, let's blow this fucker out. And everybody can go. It's free. Anybody can go. And think they were like, we don't really want to do that again.
Nope.
Well, the Great American Days, it was first hour free open bar.
Oh, shit. And that's right.
That's when everybody just thought, hey, there was fights. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Fillmore, that's the one where I got arrested.
Oh, right.
For spitting on the fucking security.
Was that the one where Lindsay has the photo of you cuffed? Or yeah. Or was it Slim's? No.
That's another time I almost got arrested. The one at the Fillmore, the security were just being dicks, and I ended up spitting on them, and they fucking duct taped my face shut and then waited for the cops to come in and get me. They handcuffed me and took me outside. I was wearing the red leather vest and the Budweiser shirt.
Right.
And I spent the night in jail. And then the other one.
850?
No. There was a smaller precinct over in that area. Hmm. Like off of Geary or something.
Okay.
But the other one.
Was Slim's?
Slim's.
When you and Ashley were fucking
dancing. Oh, yeah. We were... it's our tradition. We wear our leather jackets to Skater of the Year party, and then we mosh, dance, roll around, and spilt beer and just whatever. And the guy thought I was attacking her, and so they picked us both up, dragged us outside, and then he laid me out on the fucking sidewalk. He fractured my eye socket.
Right.
And then the fucking cops, I turned around, the cops were trying to grab me, and I just fucking bolted down the street, and I hid under a car. And then I went to the hospital.
The guy punched you in the nose?
My eye socket.
In the eye?
He fractured my socket. Whoa. They gave me an x-ray, and there was a fracture all the way down. And then Mickey did some investigating, he says, and that guy got fired the next day.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't sue him or something, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Did you ever get kicked off a plane?
Yeah, with Mickey. We got arrested.
What was that about?
Look at this. God, this is all arresting stories. we were in Chicago coming back from something. It was just me and Mickey, and I had a whole row to myself, and fucking fat boy Mickey comes and sits right next to me, and I'm like, dude, just, I want to stretch out. Let me have this row. He's like, what? We're not even taking off yet. Like, just whatever. I'm like, just let me fucking stretch out. And then we start fucking... slap fighting and like bickering at each other, and the fucking flight attendant, he comes over and he's like, hey guys, calm down or you're gonna be off this plane. And because like he said something to the guy, like, he went up front, he's like, okay, that's it. And he said something, Mickey said something off color, whatever. And Mickey knew right then and there the guy was going up to the pilot to, like, have us kicked off. So Mickey just fucking got up and walked right behind him and then out the fucking front door of the plane. And I was just sitting there like, okay, whatever, trying to go to sleep. And they come with officers onto the plane and handcuff me and take me off the plane, put me on the tarmac. Mickey waited for me like a good manager.
That was Chicago?
Yeah. Mickey's like, oh, fuck, you should have just come with me. Now, Mickey's like going to jail with me. He could have gotten away clean, but he waited for me because he knew I was in trouble.
Right.
So they put us on the tarmac. It's snowing outside. They put us in the paddy wagon, and they take us to the local jail. And they're, like, taking pictures of all of Mickey's tattoos and shit, asking if he's in a gang. Fucking, we know you're in a gang. Like, what's this mean? What's that mean? Like, and then they book us. We're in there for a few hours. Then they let us out at, like, fucking 2 a.m. And it's snowing outside, and we don't have our bags. And we're just wearing fucking T-shirts outside of the fucking precinct. And somehow there was a fucking thrift store open across the street. And we go in and fucking get all our clothes and shit on. Mickey takes the deluxe card and we go post up at a hotel. But it was fucking, it was pretty crazy.
Damn. I can imagine some of the
We were freezing trips. Our ass off, dude. It was fucking, it was Chicago in like middle of winter.
Oh, yeah. So, bad shit. You and Jake were in Europe or something, and you were flying home, and you were talking about putting a band together?
Yeah, that was the, I want to go to the blue thing.
I want to go to the blue thing.
That was the same trip?
Yeah, we did the face paint for Marseille.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we started talking about doing a band in 2005. on the hill of Marseille. The last time we ever went to Marseille, we kind of were clowning the whole contest because it just got lame. Yeah, and we're like, this is the fucking end of Marseille. Like, it had a good run. We're fucking done with this shit. No more.
And so how'd the band start from?
Well, believe it or not, he could play some guitar. Fucking, I didn't believe him. But so we got home, and then we needed a drummer. So I hit up an old friend, Ashley.
Uh-huh.
And she was doing paramedic school, so she was back and forth between San Diego and Brookings, Oregon, San Jose. She was, like, going up and down the coast, like, for schooling and shit. And so I caught her, and she was down, and that's that.
Is it true? Because I think this is how I remember Jake telling me, you guys... we're in Europe talking about doing a band. You're on the plane flying home, and you cut up a Thrasher sticker and spelt bad shit, and that's how you kind of came up with the name, maybe?
That's bullshit.
Oh, okay.
Dude, I don't know where that fucking story came from, because we didn't name the band until we all got, all three of us together.
Oh, I thought that you guys went to Ashley and were like, we got the name, we got it, we just need the drummer.
No.
Oh, okay.
From what I remember, uh-huh, is we had an electric drum set when we were living together. Well, no. We started the band just across the street here at the warehouse, right?
Double Rock.
Yeah, me and Ash were living at Double Rock in that office room. And no shower, no nothing. We just had our band equipment in the office. And we were trying to figure out what we're going to do. We lived there for like 2 months. And I was like, she had to go work at Neiman Marcus and shit. And like, I would shower her off in the back alley with a hose. Like, I would stand on the flatbed truck and hose her down in her bathing suit. And that's how we were living for a while. And then, you know, Jake would come over just across the street and we'd jam and... fucking, I don't know. The band, Ashley could elaborate more on the name, but we were just throwing shit back and forth, and then whatever it's going to be is some bad shit. So then that was kind of stuck.
Do you guys have a first song that you made, or are you not
fuck
sure?
You, fuck you, fuck you, kill, kill, kill.
That's the first one.
Yeah.
You don't play that anymore, or you once in a while?
We can play that one. We haven't, though, in a long time. That was a Jake riff.
Well, while we're talking about bad shit, we got to talk about the Niners.
Yeah.
Because they're about to go to the championship game that could take them to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Are you fired up on this? You're a football fan. You're a Niners fan.
I've been watching fucking... I've been glued to the set on fucking weekends. Last weekend was on a Saturday, so
yeah,
I kind of threw everything off for me because I ended up just watching football all weekend. I wanted the Seahawks to fucking lose.
We all did.
Yes. So, sorry, Seattle, but they can fuck off.
You guys might come up with a new verse for fucking, what's his name? Jimmy G to...
No, it's fucking, hopefully we can take it all the way and it'll be fucking 6 fucking rings.
Oh, yeah. We got a good chance because Baltimore lost. Kansas City looks good.
I can't
good.
Believe who fucking lost. Baltimore lost? Yeah. They got fucking creamed.
Yes, and the Saints lost. We just got to beat Green Bay at home.
No,
and then we go probably play Kansas City. Tennessee.
The Texans fucking scored 14 points in like the first 4 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
Which was like, holy shit. But then they ended up losing, but it was kind of gnarly.
Mm. All right. We're going to take a quick time out, get a public service announcement from Tim McKenney, and hear a word from a sponsor. We'll be right back.
Public service announcement. A couple weeks ago, I was talking nothing but shit about Vans, talking about how I'd never ride it and how I don't like the waffle, blah, blah. As Eric, he's looking at me like, that's all I've ever ridden, bro. I ended up going and buying a pair of half cabs, putting them on, and I swear for the rest of the time I skate, I will be rocking half cabs. Within 10 seconds, I was ripping in them. So I apologize for not knowing the power of Vans. But mark my words, I will be buying half cabs for the rest of the time I skate. Next purchase is at Atlas, and it's those brown ones. Bet next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the story behind the Miami crime scene? Where did the...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I tried to tell this story. I think it was Tampa Pro. No, where were we? Yeah, we were at Tampa Pro. Me, Mickey, Ashley, Jake, and we all had the same flight, but we had to make a connection in Miami. We were all kind of fucking still on a bender from the weekend in Tampa. And we're waiting at the airport bar in Miami, and we're like, fuck this. Mickey, you got the credit card? And he's like, yup. He booked a hotel, and we just fucking split the airport, missed our connection. Got to some fucking fancy hotel at South Beach. I don't know. It gets gross. I don't want to tell again. I just... In the morning, there was blood all over the room, like bloody handprints. Everything in the room was white. It was like a hipster, fancy hotel room. Everything was white. The headboard was white. The floor was white. The walls were white. Somebody brought a girl home, and there's just bloody handprints all over the fucking room.
Fuck.
There was a trail of blood leading to the bathroom and blood all over the toilet seat with a fucking turd in the toilet with a bloody tampon on top of it. It was fucking gross. And Mickey and Jake got into like a little fucking argument, and Mickey or Jake, one of them threw one of their shoes onto the neighboring roof of the building, and fucking they got into an argument, and like somebody threw someone's phone over the balcony. I don't know. And then we ended up at a strip club for like 36 hours straight, and fucking it was just gross.
Florida. Blood all around. Coked up sex murder. Didn't mean to hurt her. I was high. Couldn't see who would do that. It wasn't me. We had no more cash left, and me and Ashley were the last ones standing.
We ended up having to stay at some fucking hostel that was disgusting that we didn't have enough money for, but they let us stay anyway. And we didn't have any money for the bus. We didn't have any money for a taxi.
Right.
We snuck onto the public bus to the airport, and fucking we get to the airport, and Jake shows up shirtless. It was just a nightmare.
All right, let's go to a positive thing now. Let's talk about Auckland, New Zealand.
Yeah.
One of your favorite cities, or?
Like Auckland, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Lee Ralph down there. What's like Australia and New Zealand always seems like it does you guys good, like... There's always something pretty epic coming out of those trips, almost 100%.
Yeah. One of my, not favorite, but another just story about how taking public transit and learning that whole system fucking pays off. So it was a Big Brother tour, and we were in two RVs, Big Brother Vans tour. We were in two RVs, and we were like an hour outside of Auckland, and... Fucking the one RV thought I was in the other one. The other RV thought I was in that one. So everyone, both RVs fucking leave town back to Auckland. And I was stuck in fucking some random town.
Oh.
Like over an hour outside of Auckland. So I went to the fucking local coffee shop, asked how the fuck do you get back to Auckland. They pointed me to the bus. Fucking got on a bus. Went straight to downtown Auckland proper. Transit mall, and I didn't know where the hotel was because we hadn't gone into Auckland yet. So I fucking just start circling the transit mall and make bigger circles, bigger circles, bigger circles, and I fucking randomly after like an hour of walking around, I run into Max Schaff and I'm like, dude. And he's like, oh, what's up? You getting some food? I'm like, dude, I got ditched in that last town. I just took the fucking bus here and I've been circling around downtown for a fucking hour trying to figure this out. And he's like, oh, we're just staying right over there. Like, nobody knew I was gone or anything.
Oh, fuck.
But you just got to fucking keep your wits and fucking just do the smart thing. And you can't cry about it. This was, like, before cell phones were a big thing and shit, you know? You couldn't just call someone up.
And you're out in the middle, probably, like, New Zealand's kind of remote.
Yeah. We were fucking out there. Yeah. You can't just fucking go to an internet cafe and fucking direct message somebody.
Yeah.
You're fucking on your own. You just got to use your fucking brain.
Fuck. That's actually pretty lucky.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, New Zealand's done us good. Everyone out there is super friendly. It's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to get back out there with Ashley and the family at some point. Because I know she really wants to go and do more of a
sightseeing.
Yeah, sightseeing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, even on a skate trip, it's really beautiful and you don't even need to go sightseeing because, like, the drives from one place to another are pretty fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, you can do both.
Right. What sticks out to you when you think of, like, some of the scariest things or scariest moments you've had, like, skating, looking at something or doing something or falling a certain way or whatever it may be? You remember that one you did in Lincoln City where you fucking flew down and went into the ball?
The 5-0 across the top of that bank?
Yeah, then you go into the...
Yeah, that was pretty stupid. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I don't know what I'm thinking half the time.
Uh-huh.
But you just get in the zone and you don't care, you know, sometimes. Not all the time.
Yeah.
Skating's a tricky son of a bitch. Like, you could be fucking dreaming, I want to do this, and just fucking, it's just replaying in your head how you're going to fucking do it, how it's going to feel, how it's going to work. But then you get there, and it's just not that day for you, you know, sometimes.
Right.
Like, fuck. No, scary shit. South Africa.
Oh, yeah,
The car wreck. Everyone can fucking be like, oh, you should have used the e-brake. You should have put it in first. Da, 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 da. You weren't fucking there.
Yeah.
You don't know how much fucking weight we were pulling in this fucking car. We were over capacity with gear, bodies, the van itself, the fucking brakes. Everyone can be like, oh, I could have save the day, but nobody in the fucking world could have saved the day like fucking Don did, so
right,
everyone can think what they want, but yeah, that shit was scary. I've been in Brazil and had a fucking scary confrontation with some kids in an alley and a gun and shit.
Oh.
And just for pissing in a fucking alley.
Uh-huh.
And not being disrespectful at all. I was just like, what, dude? Look at this fucking place. It's like a fucking shithole. I'm pissing like where there's already like dog shit and garbage and everything. Big fucking deal. But other scary shit. I don't know. Just fucking getting that phone call from Tony Vitello about Jake. That was my fucking nightmare of all fucking time.
Yeah. I got the same one. And that was gnarly. Like, basically, I think I talked to Trixie before Tony Vitello.
Yeah.
Like, somebody had sent me a text saying, like, is Jake okay?
Yeah. And you're like, oh, shit.
And I was like, I get those texts all the time. Is Jake okay? Yeah, he's fine. He's on 24.
That's when you know it for a fact.
Yeah. But I hit up Trixie because I was just like, you should figure this out. Hit up Trixie, and Trixie just answered the phone, call Tony Vitello, and she sounded not good. And I was like, oh, he's dead. Like, I knew right there, kind of. And then I called Tony, and he answered the phone. Both phone calls were not even a hello. They were just like, yep.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
there's no beating around the bush.
Yeah, that was a fucking... How's that been for you guys with the band and everything? It's sick that you guys are still keeping it going and stuff, but it must be, I mean, I was looking at you and Trixie in Lincoln City. I'm assuming that was probably one of the first times you guys played after he passed, And that seemed super emotional. Like,
yeah,
it's got to be hard to play these songs that you guys created together. And the elephant in the room, you know, it's like,
yeah, there's some people that don't believe the band exists anymore. It's not the same without the old man. Well, yeah, no shit. It's not going to stop us.
Right.
You know, why stop sending these messages out of fucking great lyrics? And, you know, he wouldn't want us to stop, you know?
Absolutely.
And if anyone's going to like join the band, he fucking loved Waylon.
Yeah. You know, for sure.
He's in. We're going to keep going.
That's so sick. That was a surprise to me. Like, you guys came out and then all of a sudden Waylon comes out with the bandana over his face. I was like, no fucking way is this happening.
Yeah, that's his look. He likes that Thrasher mask thing.
But he's got the song. He's got the cuts and stuff.
Yeah.
Trixie's like, we made the songs easy for Jake so fucking Waylon can figure it out.
Yeah, and he's been listening to it since he's a fucking child. You know? And, like, we started Bad Shit 3 years before he was born. So he's been hearing it his whole life.
I got photos of him with those huge headphones on. He was at the first death match we went to. I just found photos of that.
Sick.
Yeah.
But we're not going to stop.
Are you going to create new stuff?
Yeah, I'd like to, because I need Waylon to like contribute. Uh-huh. He wants to, you know. He has ideas and he likes to play music. He's got a keyboard in his room. He takes piano lessons and stuff. We have the drum set up in like our front room, just out in the open. So he's been playing with that a little bit, like learning how to play like the beat and stuff.
Right.
But he plays the bass now. I got him like a little short scale bass, and yeah, I want to make some new stuff. Also, we can do like fucking Jake. We didn't even get to do like half of the shit, the lyrics that he has written, like songs.
You guys have a booklet or something?
We have we have a bad shit file.
Uh-huh.
It was just like shit, songs he would write on an envelope and then just fucking leave in our mailbox.
Sick.
So we have a bunch of that kind of shit we can do. Also, or like, you know, even extend some of the existing songs, maybe with some different changes and shit.
What's one of Waylon's favorite songs to play?
He likes Damn Blood.
Let's listen to Damn Blood off the new recording you guys just did.
Yeah, yeah.
Right here. Boom. Those new songs came out fucking sick. What was the process on that? Like, Hammered is so, I love that version.
My buddy Jesse, he plays in a band called Trial by Combat, and he knows...
mixing?
He knows people who do that.
Oh.
You know, recording. And he linked us up with a recording studio that's close to our house up in Santa Rosa. It's in Cotati. It's called Zone. And just fucking Jake came up and we did two recording sessions in 2 days. and we got it all mixed proper. And
yeah,
we could have done more, but dude, like seriously, just after that shit, it's like say goodbye. It sucked.
It is crazy because we all knew Jake and his how twisted his brain worked and everything, and like coincidence wise it just seemed weird that like he died so soon after he came in saying we finished what I was set out to do.
I know it's a fucking it's like coincidence, but it's not, but yeah. You want it to be, and yeah. It's just confusing. He never got to hold the disc in the sleeve like in his hand,
right?
Like a month or two ago I came in and just dropped one on his desk. Sick. To leave for him.
No, I was hyped on. I got mine with the shirt. Jake loves skateboarding. Like, we all know that. But the band was so important to him. Like, especially in these latter years, like, he talked maybe more about the band than he did skateboarding, at least at times, for sure.
That's what I hear.
You know, he loved it. And it was fucking, I don't know. I think it's really important. You guys are closer to him than anybody. Like, it's a fact that he bickered with you guys as well as me and everyone else in his life because we all knew him so well. But when it came down to who the real people in his life are, I think we all know who those people are. And sometimes in these times when people die, one of my problems is like seeing all the gravitation, but we're all, I don't know. Everybody just needs to come together for this shit.
The shit that pisses me off is like what we were talking about earlier is just like everybody just wants to be the first to fucking like say it on fucking social media.
Yeah.
I want to be the one to break the news. And what does that make you feel good? Fuck off. Like, yeah. You didn't spend time enough to be that person to fucking like,
right,
release.
Yeah,
bad fucking news.
Yeah, and then what, you're gonna put out a book about like his feelings or something, like, you know? Like, I just, it's so funny to me because everything that I think about it and the way it comes out is exactly, I'm just hearing his voice.
Yeah,
like, oh, you're gonna tell me, like he used to always say that, and it's like it echoes like a lot of this shit. I'm so privileged to have spent every day with him here at the plant. Yeah. And hear his fucking craziness. But you guys put the miles on the road where he's like actually a different person. Like when I travel with him, I'd be like, well, there's a different Jake.
Well, that's the Jake that everyone knows. And yeah. I talk with Tony about it. Like everyone knows Vacation Jake, like,
yeah,
Hype Jake, fucking Breaking Bottles Jake.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot more.
Right.
That people don't realize.
And just hearing him and his opinion on it all makes it that much stronger for me to be like, no, I kind of sound like a dick, but this is just in tune with what it is. Because he was always telling me, watch when I die, all the fucking people that come out, you know, the parades they have. I love the Felper.
He's no
like,
doubt.
Watch this. And yeah, I'm like, God damn it. He was right. He's looking down going, see, Schmitty?
Yep. Yeah.
But fuck. Did you have like out of the U.S. trips, did you have the first one's got to be real special because it was the first one and you and Ashley got married.
Yeah. The Skate Rock trips.
Yeah, that Skate Rock. But which ones have, they've all been good in their own way, obviously, but was that first one kind of the one that set it off? To me, it was like, it also evolved into something else, like Grant wasn't there yet, and like we were doing it with Shed and some different people, but it was sick to be in Reno and Las Vegas within 2 days, and like,
yeah,
the fucking bouncer getting knocked out and ready.
Yeah. Like, no, that one, we didn't know what the fuck we were doing.
Yeah, we
all
had
of
no
us.
Idea. Yeah.
There was no precedent to that. So it was kind of like everyone's trying to figure it out or just roll with whatever the hell, you know, was planned out. We got to go to these cities. And, you know, we're all used to being on the road. So it's it kind of just flowed as naturally as a skate trip could,
mm-hmm,
but with this added fucking intensity of music and running across club owners and fucking bartenders and having to deal with people that aren't directly involved with skating, or, you know, it's like you're dealing with a fucking venue, or you're dealing with another band's equipment that you're borrowing, or, you know, whatever. So it went as good as it could possibly have gone.
It's always the drums that's the hardest, because it's like, oh, the pedal broke, now what do we do?
Yeah,
you know,
we have one cymbal and no stand.
Yeah,
it's like we left all that shit, it's gone.
The funny thing is, I was thinking about the trips that I've been on. Slash left the first trip on day one. We played in Las Vegas was the first night. Slash bailed. He took off. I don't know why. Atlanta, Theotis Beasley left his laptop on the airplane.
Oh, my God.
And he bailed the first day. And
Rayburn.
The other or was that the same trip that Ben Rayburn? That was Detroit, first day. Broke his glasses and smashed his face.
Invert to fakie.
Yeah, so we've seen some fucking carnage. And then I love Captain Booyah. That's forever.
Oh, my God, dude. Fucking dead.
Medford Skate Park.
Dude, that shit was gnarly. So I think that clip is in that video like two or three different times.
Yeah, me and Preston have two angles of it, and then there's also a slow-mo, probably.
Oh, my God, dude.
That was the hype. And then he made it after that.
I don't remember the make. I just remember the slam, because that's what I like to watch the most.
Yeah, the slam.
Only because he was fine.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can't watch over and over somebody fucking snapping something, or I don't even want to watch it one time. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, if I know they're fine, then it's, you know, you can have a laugh about it or whatever, or laugh with them about it.
Right.
But someone really gets broke off, I don't want to see that.
I got Trixie's side of the story. I want to hear yours on how you proposed.
I came back from Australia. I was at the Sydney airport, and I called her dad on a payphone, and I asked him if I could propose to her, and he said yes. Oh yes, that's great. Yes, this is so glad, Tony, like, this is amazing, da da da. And I flew home, and then she got me from the airport. We had to go to the SPCA to look at Bronco and see if, because she picked him out and was like, hey, come look at this dog, and we'll put him on hold, and then we're going to go to San Jose to go to the Van Halen concert. So we went to see the dog. I'm like, yep, he's fucking perfect. Like, put him on a hold for a day. And then we drove to San Jose. It's funny because I just bought this DVD at the flea market. There was a fucking Bewitched movie with Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
That was on at the hotel we were staying at in San Jose. And I was like fucking nervous as shit. And she's like, why are you acting so weird? And I'm like, no, I don't know. Like, whatever. And we walked over to the venue. And then we got a couple beers, we were on the floor, like 15 rows back or something, and I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. I just had some shitty ring that I picked up, like in Australia, for just a temporary fucking little thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't know when I was going to do it, so fucking chicka-da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. You Really Got Me came on, and I was like, oh, fuck, this says it all. So then I got down on my knee. Or no, I whispered in her ear. I was like, you know, I love you. And like, I love you for a long time. Like, you're my best friend. And then I got on my knee and I.
Could she hear you?
Proposed to her. I had to go real close. Yeah. Like, cut my mouth and everything in her ear. And then I proposed to her. She said, yes. And then she forgot the whole the rest of the concert.
Yeah.
She doesn't even remember, like.
She said you ruined the concert for her. Yeah. All she could think about was the ring, and she didn't even pay attention to the film.
Or just the just the fact that, you know, we're going to get married.
Yeah, that's epic.
So.
That's the song.
And then we went back to the hotel, and I ordered every dessert on the menu. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Treat yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm engaged. Tony Vitello's engaged. Sally Vitello's engaged. And Jordy just got engaged.
Oh, that's right. I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah. So everybody's doing
it. Oh, my God.
Jordy did the scratcher. I thought that was pretty cool.
I know. I saw that, man. That's pretty sick. I never seen that before.
Yeah, me neither. I was telling them that they should make a book of all the best proposal ways, because Joe Brooke did the one where he took his girlfriend to the dark room and he's developing a picture and he pulls it out. When it develops, it says, "Will you marry me?"
Nice.
That one always was like, whoa, that's good.
That's a good one.
What about Arco?
What's up?
Got a good Arco story?
I don't know. I just, when I lived right across the street from him, it was always nice to know that he was just across the park right there.
Yeah.
So, like, going to Potrero, what are you up to, you know? Working, but I'll be there after work. And, like, you know, just meet up with him either in front of my house or his house and then just skate to the park and,
yeah,
you know, just hang out, have some beers, talk some shit.
He's got lots of stories. He's good at telling them.
Yeah.
He's funny.
Delivering a present to him today, that fucking Aloha Airlines hat.
Argo.
Shout out.
I miss having him, like, just right across the street.
I did a podcast with him and I saw him like a few months later. He's like, did that ever come out? I don't know how to use any of those gadgets.
Thrasher.com? Fuck. That's news to me.
Yeah. How special was that fucking first pitch?
First pitch was great. It was nerve-wracking.
That was one of the better times for me, just getting to be a part. Like, I got on the field, got to film you. I'm just like, holy shit, we are doing
it. Well, the fucking chick, she running the whole little operation there. She's like, okay, once you get to the rubber, just go. Uh-huh. And I'm like, okay. So I walked out there and, like, I just set my foot and I wasn't even listening to, what do you know, what's her name, the announcer?
Renelle.
She's great. Everything was just mute to me. Like, I wasn't
listening.
You
were a little nervous.
I wasn't listening to what she was saying. She's like, explaining like the shoe that's coming out and Vans and whenever you're ready. And like, I'd already released the ball. Oh, well, there he goes. And
right down the pipe, though.
I know, it was fun.
Good strike.
I had been doing a little practicing, but not really. Like, I brought a baseball with me to South Korea because we were on that shoe release tour, like the wear test tours. I had a ball with me. I wasn't throwing it so much, but I just would hold it and, like, just get used to it.
Yeah.
But it was fucking sick to be out on the field and, like, have, yeah, like, my family there and shit.
Yeah. And we Jake had, like,
everybody,
three,
the crew, the whole crew was there.
We had the luxury suite boxes with fucking food, everything. And Elijah, then, everybody's up
and
there.
And then before that, you know, we had the Arco fucking bus tour.
Oh, right.
Which was great.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
That was a good fucking time.
Vans is always taking care of you real well.
Yeah, Vans, I hear how, you know, riders for other companies are compensated, and it's nothing compared to, like, what Vans does for their riders.
And they do cool, I don't know, like, the thing they're doing with the girls, the whole girl movement, that thing's really cool that they're doing with Lizzie and Brianna and all them. And then, like, they're the ones that came to San Francisco and built and let the barge go into McCovey Cove. That was one of the best days of our lives. Like,
yeah.
Omar Showtime. Dude. You know, like, these are Vans events. And they've put shoes, like, you've had 9 shoes?
Something like
a
that.
A lot. Like,
yeah.
So,
seeing Van Doren, like, hands-on at events and shit is the fucking sickest.
Fuck yeah.
Like,
down to barbecue, fucking
out
whatever.
He's out there, boots on the ground, like, fucking dealing with all the shit.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like, you know, he could, you know, easily just sit back and, like, let someone else do it, but he's, like, hands-on fucking right there.
Right.
Like, for everyone to see and, like, stoke people out.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you working on anything? Do you guys have... Is there an anti-hero video or a Vans video or anything, projects?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Nah.
Dog shit?
I love this sweatshirt.
The dog shit videos.
I wear
this
sweatshirt to school and
people get bummed.
Well, I don't know if they do, but they don't say anything, but I'm always like self-conscious. I'm like, oh shit, I'm wearing this one again. Damn it. This is dog shit on it. I'm dropping off my kindergartner and fifth grader and like oops, sorry. But everyone's super friendly to school. Like, I talk to the principal like every morning and she's super nice and everyone's cool there.
And what were you telling me about Waylon? He He's been on Instagram doing some gaps and stares and stuff. He's really starting to shred around.
Yeah.
He just learned his first heel flip.
Yep. First heel flip. I missed it. And now he's mad because he can't do it again. And I missed the first one. No, he's skating good. He's got really, really good balance. But it's like the little things, like his foot's too far forward when he's ollieing, you know, like you have to have your foot like a little farther back so you can really slide it up.
Mm-hmm.
Just little things like that. He won't take my direction at all. And it's frustrating for me because I'm like, just please try it a couple times like this. And why do you get so mad at me? I'm like, I'm not mad at you. I'm just try it like this. Just try it, please. And it's frustrating for both of us. But no, he flies around. He jumps down stairs and can drop in on big shit. And that's how you want to be. You want to be all over everything.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to just limit yourself.
Right. I just skate ledges.
I got my ledge skater, manual pad. Just that's it.
Yeah.
Low risk, high fun. Yeah.
I thought of one when I was going to pick you up. Imagine if you guys had the video component to come out with the CD that is the Bad Shit Karaoke.
Oh my God.
And you gotta have the My Feelings Karaoke, where you get to just ad lib like whatever you want.
Yeah. It just says on the screen ad lib.
Yeah. Because how many recordings of that song are there? I only found one that's like, that's the one I kind of listen to mostly.
There's at least three or four.
That's
Your Feelings, I Care.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how you talk to me about the places that you've been and you want to go. You want to be a fucking rocket scientist? Hey, man, you can't have flounder eye. I joined the Navy, but you know what? This song is about you, your feelings, your fucking feelings, how you live your life. I'm talking feelings, your feelings. I fucking care.
There was one where I ran out of tape. When he was fucking going off, like it's usually a three verse song, but fucking we only made two verses and then the tape fucking cut out.
Oh, so it didn't record the rest of it.
It didn't record the third verse. So there's one version that's just the two verses, but then there's like, we had
your hot dogs touching my hamburger.
You can't put your meat where I'm gonna touch to cook my chicken.
Probably gonna have a barbecue, right? I'm going to cook my chicken.
Yeah. Well, I did all the early recordings just on the four-track Tascam tape recorder. And so our first album ever was, there's OGBS, which is just four songs, and we did that with electric drum set. And then there's Get Tested.
Right.
Then Get Tested 2, Positive Results. And then Get Tested 3, Days to Live. And then Get Tested 4. Four something, and then there's Busted Nuts and Broken Bones, Blasphericon, a bunch of fucking weird albums that we just did, whatever shitty room we were playing in and recording on tape, and I just would physically burn all the discs and just make like 50 copies and take on the road with us or whatever.
So you have it all digitally?
Yes. And there was some other shit on an iPod that's fucking like 10,000 years old that I had my buddy who did the latest recordings.
Yeah.
I had him suck all those off of the iPod and put them like onto a file.
Oh,
so I have the, because they were only on that iPod.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. Yeah, lucky. And then I saw at least some of it is on like Spotify.
Yeah, Ashley got the Spotify thing to work.
You guys got an Instagram right?
Yeah.
Spotify, YouTube. Did you guys figure that one out yet?
No.
We just don't have the password.
Yeah.
There's a bad shit YouTube page, but we can't figure out who created it.
Yep. But then it's also on like Apple Music or iTunes or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So we have the discs, which we got fucked on because this company that we got to make the discs is like a F rating with the Better Business Bureau, we found out. They fucking sent us 150 discs. Half of them are blank. They won't respond to us. They won't give us our money back. They overcharge for shipping, all this bullshit. So we're in the process of getting a new printmaker. Babylon Burning has been printing our shirts and shit.
Sean?
Yeah, Sean Johnson.
Sean John.
Yeah.
Shout out.
What are some of your favorite spots you've gone boarding, like parks or spots around the world?
Oh, fucking just Oregon, and Oregon is great.
Yeah.
Burnside's my favorite fucking skate park of all time.
Is it?
Yeah.
I was there when you did so the gap. It's perfect.
It's got everything. The hip is fucking epic. Yeah. The big fucking, the splat wall is just fucking so fun. The pull out to it too. It's just got tight corners. It's fun.
You skated the new stuff there?
No, I haven't even skated it since that fucking new building went up.
Yeah, same. I haven't been there since. If you go to Oregon, besides Burnside, what are some must stops?
In Portland?
Or just up in there Oregon. Somewhere. Like if you drive up there, do you have like a routine where there's like you got to hit Ashland every time or whatever it is?
Yeah, it just depends on the route you're going to take. The old Southern Oregon parks, you know, that was like talent. One of the first rounds of like the new concrete parks that were going in up there.
Yeah.
But now they're fucking just
so crusty.
It's so fucked. But they're fun to hit. You know, Ashland's fun. That's a fun little town.
Yeah.
I
like Almsville.
Almsville is sick. You got Methford.
Oh, yeah.
And Talent. Jacksonville, is that?
Yep.
Yeah.
The cemetery.
On the hillside?
Yeah.
That one's always been pretty
Upson
sick.
Upson and Droba had a good video there.
Upson back lip, the love seat.
Yeah.
What else? And then there's the coastal parks too, like Port Orford, Florence, Brookings.
Yeah. Lincoln City, obviously.
Yeah. And then there's a bunch. Montana's got the shit going too. Idaho.
I got to get back to Montana. I think there's way new stuff since I was
there. I haven't even been to that new Idaho park yet.
Oh.
The Boise one, under the bridge or whatever.
Yeah.
I haven't been there yet either. It's been a while since I've been to the Northwest.
That's a good route, go through Idaho up into Montana.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Anything, what else? Anything else we should fucking flap about?
We're trying to get this Mexico trip going.
Oh yeah.
In March, mid-March. And
with the band.
Yeah, with bad shit. This band called Cardiel, it's a husband and wife. It's just them two.
Yeah.
They're fucking sick. Uh-huh. And then there'll be some local bands at each each city. And I'm just trying to fucking gather the troops right now and get everyone psyched on it. Try and get some funding from Vans. They're talking to Vans Mexico. They're getting the rooms and shit.
Oh, sick.
Just trying to keep it going.
Yeah, you have to.
Dude, we fucking love Mexico City. That place has done us good. You wouldn't imagine. It's even higher elevation than fucking like Denver. So
really?
You don't even realize it, but if you don't fucking drink water and fucking...
You get that elevation.
You get like, sick.
Nauseous.
Yeah.
Fuck. What was like the biggest show? Was the France one the biggest one with Dinosaur Jr.?
Biggest bad shit show ever?
Yeah.
Oh,
you guys did one. I wasn't at, but it was in Europe, I think, at like some festival.
Yeah, no, I want to say it was when we opened up for Bad Brains at Phoenix.
Yeah, that was right before the Skate Rock where we went with two mags.
Yeah,
the Goat. Right, it was you, the Goat, and Bad Brains.
Yeah,
played at Phoenix Am.
Yeah, that was a sick venue.
That was huge.
It was a big circle, yeah. But we're banned from there forever.
Oh.
They banned us.
For what?
No, because like I paid them to record the set, and then they fucked us out of it somehow. And then I was emailing back and forth with some broad, and she's like, "You'll never fucking play Phoenix again. You guys are banned for life."
Oh man!
Just over some fucking emailing and shit.
Wow.
But that was a big one. The Dinosaur Jr. one in Paris was good.
That one was so sick.
The fucking Phoenix one, though, sort of Jimmy Moore ditched us in a parking lot. And, like, me, Ashley, and Jake, he's like, okay, here, wait here. I got to go get something. And he never came back. And we were late for the fucking gig. So we had to call Lundry to come pick us up. It was just fucking nightmare. We got there and we were supposed to be on stage like 5 minutes ago, and he dropped us off out front. We had to run inside and get right on the stage like as we're coming in.
Dude, that was
the fucking opening up for Bad Brains. So if we missed that one, we would have been fucking bumming.
That was brutal. That was it was like a circle stage, but then around the stage was seats, and I remember dudes were doing stage dives head first into seats, bloody Bad Brains was like maybe just coming back for the first time. Like, people were really psyched for it.
Yeah.
And fuck yeah, that was a sick one. But the Dinosaur Jr. one in France, the video that Preston made that went around the whole what was on there? It was like,
well,
49ers, fucking.
No, look, probably, it's most of those videos are on the Bad Shit YouTube channel.
The actual videos he made?
Yeah. Oh. Like the edits, like fucking Onward to Battle. It's all like fucking black and white World War II fucking edits, yeah, and cut up shit.
And then he had like the Scott Peterson, maybe. I don't know. He had some.
The Black Wind one.
Yeah.
Where he's Jake in court,
just gave
like
him
fucking
a list of shit, like, yeah, put all this,
this
in there.
This. A lot of those are on that Bad Shit channel. That's what most of the videos are from that Paris gig. Each song was lined up to the video.
We're like organizing Preston's computer.
Oh my God, good luck with that.
Yeah, it's so gnarly. His hard drive's names are Big Froth, Frosty Brew.
Yes.
It's like, how do you find it? Oh, it's in Big Broth. It's like, what? This one's extra frothy, Smitty.
Oh my God, dude.
But I'll look for those, because he's the one that made them, so they have to be somewhere. Yeah. I bet if we do like Bad Shit, they might come up or something.
Yeah.
But dude, with the flames and everything. Yep. I remember we went in for the sound check and I was like, oh fuck, this is next level.
It was, dude. It was intense. It was fucking, you're completely surrounded by fucking monitors in this huge fucking room. And it was a room within the room itself, right? It was like a big box within that museum.
Yeah. It was crazy.
It was psycho.
Yeah, and that was Peabody got the cover, so we'll never forget that one.
I just remember Body's hands on the cover like this. It looks sick.
Yep. Well, shit, dude, thanks for taking the time out. What should we end it with?
Let's do if anyone out there has gotten our CDs or bought the CDs, we put a hidden track after the last song, like 56 seconds after that song ends. 56 for Jake.
Did you get that, fuckers? Huh?
Then it's the Scott Peterson Experience song.
Fuck yeah.
So that'd be a good one. It's Jake fucking talking about Scott Peterson, fertilizer salesman from the Valley.
This one's for baby Connor. Baby, I miss you. Fertilizer salesman from the Valley. He's white, but he's no Howley. Got a wife and a kid on the way. I killed them both and chucked them in the bay. Ha ha ha! I'm a player, bitch, can't you see? No one here, no one but me. All my life, that's my scene. You don't know, cause you can't dream. Ha ha ha! But another hag on the line. Hey baby, what's your sign? Hit knife in my cell. Online, you can't tell. Oh!
Chris, Jake, obviously. Big love. Thanks for coming in. And tune in again next week. Spread the word. We're still going here. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout-out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa. This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.